Om Shanti. Good evening. We are very fortunate that this evening we have with us our most respected Sister Jayanti. We extend her a hearty welcome. Yes, give her a big hand. As we know, she is a flying angel, keeps on flying all over the world to give Baba's message to the souls and also to give the deep understanding of knowledge to BK souls to enhance their spiritual progress. So today she is here to share her words of wisdom on the topic recognition of time. So let us listen to her respected Sister Jayanti.
Om Shanti. I wasn't expecting a welcome to my own home, but I'm happy to be in Pandavavan. And welcome to all those who've arrived in the last couple of days and especially today. And I have to say a special warm welcome to my dearest sister, Eleanor. The song, maybe it's one of the times when I think that it would be nice if you could speak Hindi, because the song was very much about time and how if a moment goes by, then that moment is lost forever. And so every moment is precious and every moment is valuable. And the subject, of course, the recognition of time. And I picked up on that because last night when I looked at today's Murali, Baba had spoken about the value of time and the special blessings that the time has. And Baba was speaking in two contexts. One was that it's the confluence age, a very, very special time in the whole history and story of humanity. But within that, in terms of each day and the 24 hours of each day, the very, very special time of Amrit Vela. And so Baba's message in that was very beautiful. You heard that this morning, that Amrit Vela is a time for very special blessings. Amrit Vela is a time to take all that you need from Baba. Amrit Vela is a time to be like the Father. Whole list of things that Baba mentioned. And I'm sure that when you've had that aim of making Amrit Vela the early hours of nectar, early morning, very powerful and strong for yourself, then with some attention to that, maybe sleeping a bit earlier than you normally would, but whatever it is, but giving it that special attention has brought you special rewards. And I would say that especially giving it that special attention in a special place like Madhuban, and Madhuban is Gyan Srover, Pandav Bhavan both, and now even Shantivan. But giving it that special attention, especially in Madhuban, I know it really does bring great reward. And you experience all the things that Baba had mentioned in the Murali today. I remember that my first experiences of actually feeling that yes, you can be a lighthouse and share light and might with the world was here in Madhuban. And so I know that whatever is the aim that you keep, even just in terms of every time when you sit in meditation, it brings a special, special return. And so that was a trigger for choosing this particular topic. And I want to talk a little bit about time and the recognition of time just in the context of the cycle. And just yesterday, I was having a conversation with somebody who'd come from Germany, actually, And he's connected with the India One, the solar project that we have. And it's very interesting because we were talking about how two things are very clearly visible. One is the descending energy, and you can see very clearly what's happening in every single place across the world. No exceptions. The energy, today Baba spoke about the force of negative vibrations and how as Baba's children it's possible to go beyond them and even change them. But that is the reality, that there's a lot of negativity, and certainly in the two... They're getting very interesting sound effects. Yeah, that's right, it's the hot air duct. So, when it's officials of a country, and I'm thinking about two countries that I know best, India and England, and if you meet any officials in India, they won't accept that it's a descending energy. And yet, if you talk to most people, they'll agree that yes, it is that. And I don't mean BKs, I mean anyone out there. They'll understand that yes, there's a decline that's going on. On the one side, yes, India going high in the economy and all the shopping malls that you see, more than you see in London actually. But the reality, there's definitely a decline. And in England again, a similar story. And so on the one side, the descending energy, but yet there's also very definitely an ascending energy. And many people who have started to think deeply about what's going on in the world, whether it's the environment, whether it's family relationships, whether it's the economy, they're beginning to understand that that energy is something that's created the chaos, and if we want to reverse it, there's another energy that we can tap into, and it's the ascending energy, and it's the energy of consciousness, of awareness. It's the energy in which people are more open to spirituality. It's an energy in which vegetarian diet is now coming not just into focus for spiritual reasons, but very much for health reasons, very much so, but also now more and more for the environment. And so even out there, people will acknowledge that there's a choice we have. Do we want to be part of this or part of this? And of course, for Baba's children, the whole thing begins to make sense when you know that this is the time of God's descent. And the experience of being able to meet with God. And I don't mean coming to Madhuban to be able to experience that meeting. I mean being able to have very clear information about the self and about God, and through that being able to experience that relationship with the Divine. I don't know how many would have been able to have an experience of God before they started their study of Raj Yoga. I'm sure many have had an experience, and this is probably what kept you going through all the trials and tribulations that everybody faces in life now. But yet, to be able to have one thought and connect with God whenever you want, that happens through very clear, precise information. When it's just an experience of God, sometimes, somehow, I don't know how it happened. It happened through grace. It happened as a blessing. It just happened. And then you try and emulate that experience and recapture it. It's not so easy. You can try and try, and you don't know how to try. How do you recapture that moment? But if there's a very clear methodology, step one, step two, step three, then it becomes very simple and totally effective. If I want to experience a meeting with God, this and this and this is what I have to do. And yes, it's possible. And so for us, the understanding of time, I think, started with firstly realizing that this is a time when it's possible to experience God's love, God's light, God's might, everything that is God, God is able to share with His children with a totally open treasure store and in absolute abundance. God doesn't put a limit on how much each one of us take from God. The doors are completely, in fact there are no doors. Not even just that the doors are open, but there are no doors, there are no limits. You can just connect and the ocean becomes yours. And so, first and foremost, the recognition of time is that this is the time to take everything that God wants to give, especially God's love. Because if I was aware, before I came to Baba, that there were things within my personality that I wanted to change, and I don't think I had a very clear picture that I needed to change. But age 19, you're not usually thinking about what do I need to change in myself, because you don't quite know what there is in yourself anyway, and so it's gradually unfolding. But then of course coming to Baba, and Baba shows us such a beautiful high vision of the self, not even just generally, but each one is given a very, very beautiful vision of the self. And having that vision, and I don't mean trance, I mean just through understanding, when there is that vision, then I know that yes, this is the time when it's possible to move from where I am to that vision, the highest state of being that is possible for me. And that gives such excitement, such hope, such enthusiasm that effort becomes, at that time when you're just experiencing God's love and God showing you that vision, it becomes very fast. So it was interesting that today Baba spoke about the two aspects of the mantra. One is God's remembrance, and the other mantra that I, the soul, was divine. I am that divine soul, that deity soul. And again, I was fascinated that it wasn't just God's love or God's connection that Baba spoke about as being the mantra and yoga. But it was both of these ideas, the transformation of the self, coming back to that original divine state of being, but also, of course, the connection with God. So once I've been able to accept that vision of myself, and I then stop comparing myself with anyone else, because one of the big things that really, really pulls the soul down is comparison. And it's very, very easy to fall into that trap. And what begins that trap is when instead of being here, I come here. In physical terms, it's several inches away, but in spiritual terms, it's one thought away. One moment I'm aware of seeing myself here, and I'm seeing others with that vision of seeing them here, and the next thought, for whatever reason, I forget and I come here, and the consciousness has slipped a notch, a very big notch, but then I'm looking here. And in the world out there, what creates desire and dissatisfaction and discontent is comparison of objects. My car bigger than your car, your house, your clothes, your handbag, your shoes, all of that stuff. But when we come to Baba, I don't think it's any of those things. It's easy to let go of those desires because we realize that they actually didn't bring any happiness whatsoever. But still, the comparison in so many different ways, somebody's skills, somebody's talents, somebody's role, it's infinite. And if you begin that slippery slope of comparing with others, then I forget about my own fortune and what it is Baba has given me and what it is I need to be doing. And so being here and knowing that this is the moment to again return to my own original divine state and to just keep that inner eye open and focused on the mirror of Baba's knowledge, on Baba's Murli, so that my comparison is with my own highest original stage. And this is what Baba was talking about today, the difference, and how to be able to remove that difference, where I am and where it is Baba wants me to be, and where my heart also says, that is what I am, and that is what I can be, and that's what I want to be now. And so, once I've been able to understand this mantra, this first one, and I know that this is the time when I can achieve it. When the golden age comes, whatever I've done is done. I won't be able to do anything further. And in the past births, I didn't have that clarity of knowledge to be able to achieve this. So the moment is now, this period of the confluence. And both of these things go together very beautifully, actually, which is why Baba put them together, that one mantra, God and my own original divine state, both of them together. And although Baba separated then the tools, the mantra and then the yantra, the tools that we can use to create that higher stage, he didn't put this awareness of the original form in terms of the tool. I found that interesting. We'll deal with the tools in just a minute. But that very specific thing that this is the one mantra, you and the Father, and you in your own highest divine state. And so when it's Manmanabhav, remembrance of one, it's not just remembrance of one, it's also remembrance through the awareness of who I am. Baba gave us an example. In one situation, I'm saying, when I've forgotten who I am, in one situation I'm saying, God, I need your help. Do I remember who I am? I think at that moment I'm remembering God. But in fact, I've forgotten who I am. And so the quality of my relationship with God is very, very different. And in the awareness of who I am, that original divine being, that direct creation of God, the child of God, then in that awareness, when I remember God with love, then I remember God as a child who has claimed all rights, and so I don't even need to ask, which is what Baba was saying today. When Baba is ready to give everything, Why should you even need to ask? And we need to ask if we've forgotten who we are. Then, yes, I think I'm remembering God, but I'm actually positioning myself down here and God up above somewhere. But God is saying, you are my creation. You are created in my image. So you are that divine being. So the homework that I have to do is to be aware of who I am. And then the tools that Baba was mentioning, use the different aspects of consciousness through the day to help you stay in this awareness and remembrance. So what has Baba told me about Amrit Vela? Baba was mentioning that. And then Baba went on to give the detail of that. Then a bit later on, so at 4 o'clock, I'm remembering. And then it was, of course, the significance of the time. Amrit Vela, who am I? And what is this time? And so, how do I approach that time? But then even further, the next tool, through the period of spiritual study, when I come into study Baba's Murali, Baba's knowledge, 6 o'clock, 6:30, whatever time it is in your center or here in Madhuban. But again, what is the awareness with which I come in to study? Again, is it in that consciousness of being a student of the Supreme? And I'm sure that when you look back on the times when the Murali has been beautiful and powerful and inspirational for you, it's been when you've kept that awareness of the Supreme Teacher and the one who's now teaching you everything. And the times that you've come in because it's your system, it's become your routine to go and hear Murali. And it's almost like a ritual, and I use that word knowingly, but if it's become routine, if it's become a system or it's become a ritual for me to come and hear the Murali, what is the consciousness with which I hear the Murali at that moment? Absolutely, absolutely different. And so the important thing, to stay in that awareness of who I am as a student of the Supreme and my Supreme Teacher. And then the Murali is an experience. It's not even a time of just taking notes. It's a time to actually feel what Baba is saying and how Baba is actually lifting me up. And yes, I find notes very useful, but no need for long notes, just a few words, and it'll remind you later. If you've maintained that awareness, and it's given you the experience, which was the other big tool that Baba was talking about, coming to the experience of everything. If you've had an experience, you won't forget. And so, I might write a paragraph, but when I read it later, then I'll remember. But I won't necessarily remember that whole paragraph. But if I've been hearing the Murali in a certain awareness, and it's given me a very specific experience, then as a result of that experience, I won't forget. Then even just a couple of words that I've put in my notebook will be enough to let me come to that experience whenever it is I choose. And so, the one tool that Baba used, the awareness of the different aspects that Baba wants us to use through the day. The next one again was very interesting. When it was the subject of Karma Yoga, Baba talked about being a trustee. Do I stay in that awareness through the day of being a trustee? And you can see that, again, you see, all of these things, if we didn't have a glimpse of those, I don't think we'd be here today. I think we've had a taste we've had an experience of something of that, and so this is why we want to continue to sustain that and develop it more and more. And that's what brings us here each year. For most of us, it's each year. But we don't know how to sustain it at all times. And one of the things that definitely is a factor, if something comes and goes and you're trying to capture it, it'll keep eluding you. But if something comes and you know how it's come and what is the technique to come back to it, and then you make sure that you hold it and you sustain it and you nurture it with attention, then it's going to become so powerful that it won't elude you. And you will then be deluded by all the things that happen in the world out there. But your stage will be so firm, because that experience is now not just something that's come and gone, but it's there. That's your foundation. And so I think this is what Baba's talking about when Baba's saying, use all the tools of the different types of awareness through the day, but also make sure that between the listening and the speaking, it's actually the being and the experiencing. And then you don't even actually need to speak. Then the being and the experiencing will speak itself. And it'll be a very beautiful advertisement for others to come to Baba also. But also a very beautiful way to serve others immediately who are in contact with you. And so the recognition of time, that it's this period now when I can actually take all the treasures that God is offering me and use those treasures to come back to my own divine state of being. And so the recognition of each aspect of the 24-hour cycle that Baba mentioned, but keeping in context that in that bigger picture, this is the time when it's possible to totally transform myself, but also be an agent for change in the world. I remember in the 60s, and a handful of you would remember the 60s, many of you are much, much younger, but in the 60s, there was a tremendous sense of euphoria, and there was a feeling that, and I'm not talking about Gyan, I'm talking about pre-Gyan days, and there was a feeling that there's something we can do about the world. We can make it happen. We can change the world, bring peace into the world. Right, Joe? And a few others of my generation too. But what happened? The 60s left and the 70s came, and people who were very active in the 60s then became comfortable and started having careers and families and got lost in all of that, and we forgot about the state of the world. And so through the 70s, people just got caught up with the things of the world. And then, of course, it's interesting, the 80s have been described as the lost decade by people who or into development and things like this. Why? Because that was a time of just extravagance, external materialistic extravagance. And then, as a result of that, people feeling that it's not the external things that can bring us happiness. And then in the 90s, a little bit of awareness beginning again. And so now, definitely, very clearly, again, a great feeling in many places in the world. I think probably climate change has been one of the biggest factors to shake people and make them understand that something is going on that is actually human created. There's quite a large group here from the Philippines, I know, but in November, when I was in Warsaw for the conference, or the UN conference on climate change, the lead delegate from the delegation of the Philippines, the government delegation, the storm, the typhoon had just happened that weekend, and he was given plenary time to speak, and he had the conference hall in tears because he spoke about the disaster on a very personal level, because he had been hearing from his family in that area, and his brother was in contact with him, but many members of his family were still lost, no contact. And the conference started with that story, and it impacted the whole period. That story kept coming back in again and again because it was front page news in all countries internationally. And so it was like such a strong, strong signal. And there was a person from BBC Channel 4, a presenter who goes to all these disaster places and does radio television presentations on these. And I met him at a conference in Italy just a few days after Warsaw. And he said within the conference itself that normally when these things happen, then people always say that, you know, this is a natural disaster. And in some countries where they're more steeped in religion than others, they might even say that it's a godly disaster, it's a godly act. But in most countries they say it's a natural disaster. But now we can't call these things natural disasters anymore. It's actually human created disaster. And people are understanding and beginning to think. And it's making people aware that there needs to be a big, big shift. But I think people who are aware of the power of consciousness know that it's not a question of just planting a few trees or, you know, not driving a car. All of that is good, definitely. But it's more what's going on in here. And so it is a special time, but it's a time in which truly we can serve the world. If we understand what it is we need to do to serve ourselves first, and by serving ourselves, I don't mean external comfort. I'm talking about the transformation that Baba wants us to have. It was very interesting, Baba spoke about that too today, where I see something happening and I say, it's nothing to do with me, and I step away from it. In London today, if somebody were to fall on the streets, 9 people would definitely walk past and say, nothing to do with me, I've got no time. And this is probably true of most big cities. Maybe 1 in 10. Maybe I'm being generous, maybe it's 1 in 50. Anyway, a very small minority would actually stop and would say, what can I do? How can I help? And so Baba's message to us was, the proof of compassion, the proof of God's love and experiencing God's love is that there is compassion and you're ready to give of yourself to help others and bring benefit to another. And it's not often somebody falls down in front of you and you're expected to stop everything and help on that external level. But it's very, very often that you see a soul who's quite clearly not comfortable, not happy. And so, am I willing to give time to that soul and say, come, let's have a conversation. What can I do to help? When I was in South Africa at one point, a woman who's a local person there, and I've forgotten which tribe it is she belongs to, and I probably wouldn't be able to pronounce it either, but it was in the area of Cape Town, in that particular area. She said to me, we don't say in my language, how are you? And I was surprised. I asked her, well, what do you say instead? And she said, the reason why we don't say, how are you, is because generally when people say, how are you, it's a courtesy, it's politeness, and they expect you to say, I'm fine, everything's okay. And it may or may not be okay, but neither does the person who's asked the question want to hear your story about what is really okay or not, and neither does the person who's been asked necessarily want to open up their hearts and share their story. And so on both sides, it's not a question you ask, how are you? But if you're really interested, you give them time. You give off yourself and you sit with them. And then you talk about things. And then they'll tell you what's going on for them. And then genuinely you're asking them the question, how are you? And today Baba's message, if you're really concerned about helping, then to what extent am I willing to give of myself? But also, Baba's question was a step deeper than that. And that is, to what extent am I prepared? To what extent have I been able to fill myself with what God offers, that I'm able to tell another, this is the solution, this is the way to deal with this, and really give them that practical help. So, the recognition of time, it's time to be able to do what I need to do quickly inside, so that I have the capacity to be able to help others. And if I'm not doing that inner work now, when things get more chaotic and things are more difficult to manage, and I think that's the way the world is going, who's going to be available to help me then? Because I'm not ready. My state is in upheaval. And there won't be others who can help me because they're in need of help. But if today, while there's the possibility of giving myself that time and attention, I need to do something about it today. And if I'm ready, then I don't need to take, but at that moment I can be Baba's instrument to be able to give to others that which they need. And I think it was Dadi that was saying, and I don't remember when she was saying it, in what context, but she was talking about how what we need to do is to be able to connect others with God. And if my connection with Baba is sometimes good, sometimes not so good, or is just about okay, and something happens and wham, it's not okay anymore, then how am I going to be able to connect others? And so, precious time now. And that's right, she was asking this question about yesterday's Murli, which Baba said, liberation in a second, but also transformation in a second. And so what am I going to do in those moments of transformation? Things will happen fast, but at that moment of transformation, in a second, I can connect souls with God. That doesn't take hours and hours, but it's possible to connect another one. If my connection is accurate and absolutely safe and intact. And so, at the moment, recognizing the value of every moment and being able to use every moment in a worthwhile way and making use of time, especially in Madhuban, in the best possible way. It was one of the mantras that Daddy gave me right at the start of my own journey. And Daddy's point was, here you are, you want to belong to Baba, you want to surrender to Baba, but there are three things you have to keep in mind. One was never say no, take every opportunity with a yes. The second was make sure that you're not part of a group that is criticizing and gossiping. And the third was make sure you don't waste your time. And those three mantras have helped me enormously in my journey. But this third mantra especially, and I recognize the value of it more and more as each day goes on, the value of time and using every moment in a worthwhile way. And that is an absolute master of that. You've seen how she uses her time. And she herself wanted to come up the mountain, so I'm going to vacate the seat so that then she's able to come and occupy it. But let's create an atmosphere of yoga so that then we're ready to receive what Baba has to give to the meditation and what Daddy wants to give us. Om Shanti.